What's going on, everyone? Welcome to Inside the Eye, our first ever episode of our new podcast. I am here with my main man, Chris. Chris, let's sound the sirens.
Let's do it.
I'm hurt, dog. Don't ask me if I'm all right. Hell no. Joaquin said dominate, and we not doing it. I put my heart in this shit, dog. Let's go, man.
Let's go, baby. Bro.
We care about nobody except this you. We don't.
The toss as the visitor. It's a head, and it's a
Guys, we are Miami. We are the U. And every time you hear that, every time you see that on a shirt, on a commercial, at a game, that's got to mean everything.
What a way to kick off the episode. I'm hyped just from listening to that. Welcome to Inside the Eye again, guys. I am Kane Kev. You guys may know me from Kane Cast. A couple years ago, I was a co-host on that show. I am so excited to be back here hosting my own show. I'm here with my man, Chris. If you guys know me, I'm a diehard Canes fan. I've been on Twitter for years, constantly spewing all my nonsense as every game goes by. Love talking to you guys. And mainly the reason I wanted to do this was so I can talk to you guys even more about the Canes. So Chris, introduce yourself. Let the people know how you became such a big Canes fan.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to do this pod. My name is Chris. I'm a lifelong Hurricanes fan. My father got me watching the Hurricanes growing up. Been a fan ever since. One of my best Cane memories was actually going to game day in Atlanta. Nothing to do with the Hurricanes game, but I went to the UNC LSU and I was front row and I threw up the U and had Chris Fowler turn around and throw up the U. It was amazing. Yeah. Got a picture of it. So rep the Canes all over. So I'm excited to do this.
Yeah, this is hyped. I'm like, it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time. We have a ton of great Canes podcasts out there. I'm excited to join the fold. But the first thing we're going to talk about tonight, you know, we're going to jump right in. AP poll came out yesterday. We're going to pull it up for you guys. And we are going to talk about it for a second and just kind of give our thoughts, honestly. Let's see here. Let's pull this up. Everyone can see it. It's everyone that's watching us on YouTube. So we got the pull up. Canes clocked in at 19. Just want to give our overall reactions to the poll. Chris, if you want to start, anything that's glaring, anything that maybe stands out to you. Just kind of like an overall thoughts on the preseason poll.
Yeah. So regarding the Hurricanes, I honestly thought we'd probably be in 15 to 20 range. So 19 was right in that spot there. I think that's favorable, you know, from where we finished last year, but totally different team this year with all the new transfers in there and with Cam Ward. I think 19 is a good, fair position. Mm-hmm. I do expect though to rise up the rankings quickly. You know, we have a couple games in the beginning of the season. I think if we can take control and really show the team that we are and the different team that we were from last year, right, with all the transfers and the new freshmen. But I think that's right where we should be, 19.
No, I agree. I think a lot of people, I was actually talking to a buddy of mine and he says, how come the AP poll is one thing you can talk about is how come the AP poll always overhypes the University of Miami? And it's a valid comment because honestly, we're going to talk about it later in the show. We're always ranked and we always say that the media hates us and the world hates us, but there have been many of years where we've been ranked and probably shouldn't have been ranked. This is one year I do think we should be ranked in the preseason poll. I think it makes sense. I think it's warranted. I think 19 is specifically because of how bad we were the last couple years. But I think it's not indicative of the team. I think the talent on this team, and we'll talk about it as episodes go on, and next week as we dive more into the team and the schedule, I think this team has top 10 talent. I think they're pretty deep at a lot of positions. I think that 19 is kind of like a show me. Like, we're tired of putting you in the top 15, top 10 preseason, and then, you know, remember when we were ranked 8th and we went and played LSU in Texas and off of that 2017 season, everyone was excited and then we got blown out. And, you know, there's been time and time again. I like where we're at because I don't think the team can get too big headed with that number. But I think it's a good spot to start. But one thing we do want to talk about is Is there anyone on this list that you think is overrated? Do you think is maybe rated too high to start the season, maybe rated too low to start the season? Let me know what you think.
So not just because I'm a Hurricanes fan, but I just don't see, honestly, how Florida State is in the top 10. They lost so much, and you know they're going to have a new quarterback, DJ. I know he's been around for a while, but there's a reason why he's on this third school. And that they lost a lot on defense. I mean, we'll see what happens. I hope they're ranked when we play them, and mm-hmm. I hope it's game day, and I hope we crush them, and I hope it boosts us up to the top five. But in my opinion, I think that was a little high. I had them closer to 15, right around where we were. So seeing them in top 10, I was pretty surprised with that.
Is there anyone you think should be – anyone that's a little surprised that they're not as high up as they should be?
It's pretty fair. And like I said, it's the beginning of the season, so it's kind of hard to really justify, you know, maybe someone that's sitting outside the top 25. But overall, I mean, for preseason AP, I'm fine with this.
Yeah. One thing, I wholeheartedly agree with you on the FSU pick. I think that was more good fortune for them because I feel like pollsters feel like maybe they got screwed last year. Hey, let's put them in the top 10. Let's put them in a good place to start. A little bit of good favor, I guess, of leaving them out of the college football playoff last year. I don't necessarily think 10 is a terrible spot. I do think they still have a lot of talent. I think DJ is capable enough. I don't want to just sound like a Canes hater. I do think there's enough talent on there. I do think they were our best competition when it comes to the ACC. I actually think if I'm going to take an overrated pick, I think Clemson at 14 is kind of absurd. They lost to us last year, first of all. And I remember I saw another media member saying, how could you put Clemson ahead of Miami when Miami beat Clemson and Miami got a lot better in the offseason? I think it was a valid point because, I mean, preseason polls are specifically off of perception. That's all it is, because it's based off of you not performing anything on the field. And for me, I think, you know, Clemson being ahead of Miami with them not being that great last year either and Miami beating them, I think that was a little much. I do think one team I'm very surprised with is Michigan at 9. I get it. They lost a ton of people. Their team looks completely different from last year. But this is a team that just won the national championship. I can't remember the last time a team was ranked that low after winning a national championship. I feel like it's usually a guaranteed top 4. I mean, no matter how many people you lose, I think
nine just out of respect.
Yeah, just out of respect. Like having Penn State ahead of them is crazy to me. Especially after, I know we like to crap on them, but losing Manny Diaz and, you know, who was honestly the defense was the heart and soul of that team last year.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy to me. Like having Notre Dame ahead of them, you know, I can see them at like 6, but like I think Ole Miss, Notre Dame, Penn State ahead of all of them, I think it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, just real quick regarding the Clemson pick, you know, I've read about and listened to some stuff about Clemson, how they haven't added like any transfers mm-hmm. and they're yeah. running with the same quarterback, Cade, I think is his name.
Kate
you know, Kopnick,
yeah.
yeah, I don't know. It is, you know, that now that you said that and you explained that a little bit more, now that more I think about it, yeah, definitely. It's interesting. They're Clemson at 14 with Dabo, the same team.
Yeah, Dabo essentially apparently doesn't believe in the transfer portal.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's wild to me. And especially when you've had such a big brand over the last 5 to 10 years, the fact that you're not going to benefit from the transfer portal is pretty crazy to me. Because I'm pretty sure that they would clean up pretty well in the transfer portal. But hey, they don't want to use it.
I'll take it.
I'm not going to be mad about it. But yeah. So, all right. That's just a little bit of our insight on the AP poll. I mean, it's the preseason poll, like we've talked about. I mean, nothing. It is what it is. This thing will look completely different come week 7, week 8. You know, for all you know, half of these teams may not even be in top 25. A couple teams I am surprised aren't on here. I think SMU could have been a team in the back half of that, you know, maybe the 21-25 range. I do think SMU is going to be a sleeper ACC pick this year. I think Rhett Lashley has that team humming. I think that they are, you know, one of the up-and-coming teams in the ACC. They've raised the most money they've ever raised in program history last year. And not seeing them in the top 25, I do think they'll sneak in at some point this year. That's just a little bit of an observation.
Yeah, so real quick on the SMU. So I actually saw something that Roberts, our defensive end that transferred, mm-hmm. apparently he had like 9 or 10 sacks last year.
Yeah, he had a great year last year.
How he's like on this breakout, and I was like, I mean, I don't follow SMU. Like, that's when I saw the stat. I was like, that is insane. I didn't realize he was a double-digit sack guy, so I'm happy for him. But I didn't realize that potential was there.
Yeah, like they say the SMU is essentially, you know, Miami of Texas, because all those Jalen Knighton, Roberts, Keyshawn Smith. Yeah, Keyshawn Smith. Romello Brinson, all these guys all went over there, and good for them. I hope they're doing well. I hope they succeed. You know, it's the same thing when Nesta left. You know, whoever leaves the U, like, I hope they succeed. I mean, that's just who I am. I'm not trying to slight a bunch of teenage kids. But all right, moving on, because like I said, it's a preseason poll. Not going to dissect this too much. But one thing I do want to hit on next is just the overall vibe of what's going on into this season, because one thing we have both encountered in our Canes fandom is we're both millennials. We're in our 30s. The majority of our life, the Canes have disappointed us. I have on both hands the amount of times I've watched them lose in crazy, ridiculous fashion that doesn't make any sense, aka Georgia Tech last year. Literally,
it still like, hurts.
There's so many different ways that I have. Like, I've seen the most ridiculous endings that don't favor us. The Middle Tennessee debacle, like, it's been one after the other. But one thing I've noticed going into this year is so many talking heads. I see it all the time in the last couple of weeks talking about 10-2, 11-1, ACC championship. This team has the goods. This team has the talent. Mario Cristobal is going to get it figured out. But we've heard this. We've heard this before.
Every year.
I've heard it many times. I will say I think it's a little more warranted than past years. I do think the talent on this team is more than we've seen at least since 2017. So, I mean, I do think it's slightly warranted, but I just want to talk about the segment that we're going to have. Are you drinking the Kool-Aid? Because, like, do you have a good feeling about this season? Do you feel like the comments we're hearing from the talking heads are validated? Do you think they make sense? Or do you think it's just going to be another possibly disappointing season?
So I'll give you my answer real quick.
You got Kool-Aid in there?
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. And here's why. I don't believe they should – or sorry. I believe they should have 10 wins regardless. You look at the schedule – I think that is, in my opinion, that should be the floor. You know, the ceiling, undefeated, of course, everyone. But with the talent that we have, Cam Ward, and like I said, all the transfers that are coming, this is a totally different team. Did we lose some pieces last year? Yes. But do I think that they were replaced or the younger guys that were on team last year going to step up? Absolutely. The offensive line is going to be one of the top offensive lines in the country. Same thing with the defensive line. And everything else will work around it. But when you start in the trenches, it's going to go a long way. Cam Ward, I was reading, had one of the worst offensive lines at Washington State, and now he's going to have one of the best. I'm excited to see that. The receivers are going to have breakout years, all of them. I know Restrepo's already doing this thing, but, you know, Cam Brown and Horton, they're gonna do well this year. I'm excited to see them. Like I said, I think Cam Ward's going to spin it. Not a problem at all. And like I said, on the defensive line, they got some new guys coming in. Justin Scott is coming in. Like, he's not even going to be a starter, and he's going to be a rotational guy, and he's a five-star beast. So I'm excited.
Yeah. I mean, I think you hit some good points. I mean, I think one thing – I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm trying to stay away from the Kool-Aid. I'm like at a cult, like, you know, when they're like, hey, drink the drink. And I'm kind of like, oh, okay, I want to, but like, I know this could kill me. It's kind of like, I want to, but I know it could also, I don't know if my body can take another disappointment. You know, it's like, I've heard this shit over and over again. And it's like, I want to, but everything I see, like, if I'm looking at this team objectively, like if I'm just looking at the team out from outside looking in, like say I wasn't even a Canes fan, like the immense talent on this team is something I'm going to say it, and it's crazy to say, I don't think we've had this type of talent all across the team since the early 2000s. I truly do not believe it. Maybe since like 2004, 2005, because I do think the 2005, 2004, those teams, even though they were like 9-3, they were still very talented. You know, Devin Hester, Roscoe Parrish, you know, guys like that. Very talented guys. But if you look at this team at a position to position moniker, like you said, offensive line, like you got young studs on the offensive line. Yeah. It's not even like a bunch of seniors. Like these guys are proven, but they're young. Anez Cooper, proven starter last year, but you know, he's coming in again as a young guy still. You got Francis Maui-Goa coming in.
Yeah.
Samson Okunloa apparently has been amazing. Apparently has had a toe-to-toe competition with Matt McCoy, which is great because iron sharpens iron. You want these guys to have competitions because guess what? If Samson, God forbid, knock on wood, has some sort of injury, you can have a guy step in and you're not seeing too much of a dip.
Yeah.
And that's what Mario's created on both lines. And that's why I'm so optimistic about this year, just because of both lines. Because we haven't seen the depth on the trenches like this in a long time. Like, honestly, a long time. And you look at the defensive line, and I tweeted about it earlier today. The defensive line is stupid. It's literally stupid. Like, if I'm looking at it like a... Like, again, if I'm looking at it as just an outside fan of college football, this, trying to not be biased, literally, literally top five talent in the country. Like, it is. It straight up is. You have Reuben Bain, who is a freshman All-American, who literally, think about the fact that he's going through another strength and conditioning program, a full strength and conditioning program. He didn't have a full strength and conditioning program when he came in as a freshman. He had a whole year of going through the strength and conditioning program at University of Miami from a freshman to a sophomore year. Think about how much stronger he's going to be. Think about how much bigger he's going to be. Think about how much quicker he's going to be. And the guy was unguardable at times last year. So that's a guy you have on one side. Other side, you have Elijah Alston, the stud from Marshall. He was the highest graded defensive end in the country last year at Marshall. You have Mezador. And you have Barrett coming in from Tennessee. That's not even including the young guys like Cole McCarthy from Alabama.
And he did really well in the scrimmage, Cole.
He did. Apparently he showed out. I mean, he's got like a huge motor. That's what they love about him. He like doesn't take a playoff, which is amazing. But you just have depth at every single position. And then defensive tackle. You go and get Simeon Barrow, who is a stud. And then, like you said, you got young cats like Justin Scott. You got Ahmad Moten, who I think is going to step in and make a difference this year. You know, you have just guys that can just continue to rotate in. You're not going to get tired in the fourth quarter, you know, because you don't have massive dips. And also, you're going to have injuries. It's football. And the way it works is, we've seen with the Canes in the past, is their starters have always been D1 level starters, usually, at most positions. But when a guy gets hurt, the dip is usually so drastic that you go from D1 caliber to D2 starting caliber like real quick. And during the Manny eras and golden eras, those are the guys you would see transfer out to places and never hear from them again because they didn't deserve a scholarship in the first place. We don't have that anymore. Every guy on the team, I think, deserves to be on the team. I think they're talented. And that's what gets me excited. One thing I want to hit on too is the receiver room. I think the receiver room is the best receiver room we've had probably since like the Allen Hurns, Rayshon Scott, all those cats, Herb Waters, Braxton Berrios, young Ahmad Richards. Like that was a stacked wide receiver room. A lot of talent, a lot of speed, big bodies. And a lot of guys that went, Stacy Coley, a lot of guys that went and had burn in the NFL. This is a receiver room that is 5, 6, 7 players deep that can make a difference. You know, like you said, X is going to do his thing. I think Jacoby George is going to have a massive year. I think he's going to have a massive year to the point that he's going to be a top 3 round pick. I think I think Isaiah Horton's going to have a huge year. Apparently Cam Ward, that's like his favorite guy. He talked about, like, that's what he's most excited about is him. He had a breakout spring. Man, he's had a good fall so far. And then you got JoJo Trader. You got Nykar. You got all these young guys, you know, stepping in the fold. And then, of course, Sam Brown from Houston. You know, I mean, I think he may be the most talented one of them all, which is crazy to say. You know, he definitely has the intangibles that some of the other guys don't, and the speed. So I'm excited for this whole group, man. I think, you know, and then you throw in Damian Martinez and Mark Fletcher in the fold. Like, I don't know how teams are going to stop this offense.
You forgot one receiver, Ray-Ray Joseph.
Ray-Ray Joseph.
The speed,
You're bound to forget some of them because there's so many of them.
Yeah, it's great. It's nice it's that good. You can, that you can forget someone and still list, you know, five or six
problem.
Great players.
It's a good problem to have. And then, you know, it's funny because the one weakness I thought a couple months ago was running back. I said, okay, Parrish left. Yeah. Mark Fletcher's hurt. AJ Allen's gonna be dinged up here and there. I'm like, who is gonna start for us? Who is gonna play? Like, who is gonna be our dependable running back? You go out and get Damian Martinez, who's probably a top five, top six running back in the entire country. And then you got Mark Fletcher, who's not fully healthy. Like, that duo is stupid. And like, you pair that with the offensive line, with the running backs, I mean, with the receivers, with the quarterback. I truly have no idea who is going to stop this team. And then you get to the defense. Like, I talked about the defensive line. And you have the linebackers, which we're going to talk about in the next segment of breakout players. We think it's going to improve from last year, players to look out for. But yeah, Wesley was saying that, you know, I think a lot of people see taking a big step this year. A guy that was highly regarded coming out of Miami Central as a high schooler and hasn't really, like, lived up to it yet. He's been very serviceable. It's been good, but hasn't really lived up to that hype yet. So him, pair him with Kiko. And then, of course, you got the transfers that you talked about. You got Mish Powell at safety position, because that was a position we were worried about. You know, I mean, I do think Cam and James Williams were a little bit overhyped as a fan base. I don't think they were as good as a lot of us thought they were. And I think that tells by where they were drafted. But they were very serviceable. They were very reliable. You know, and, you know, 9 times out of 10, they got the job done. So, you know, you need someone to step in, and Mish Powell's going to step in there. You know, the corner position, a lot of people have said, is very suspect. I don't see it that way. I think Damari Brown's going to take a massive step up. I think he's going to be a shutdown type corner. Could probably stick him in the nickel against the slot. And then you got Daryl Porter, who I think is going to be a beast this year. Apparently he's got Cam Ward's number in practice, which is awesome to hear. So yeah, like, you go up and down this team. Like, I'm trying to find a weakness, like maybe punter. Like, like, I mean, like, that could be the weakness. I just don't know. I mean, you still can point to the state. You still can point to the secondary, because, I mean, you know, there are some question marks. Jaden Harris, like, we don't really know. You know, how is he going to step into that role and be the guy? Like, can he be the guy? Markeith Williams, like, he's been on the team for a couple years. Can he be a guy that can be relied on in a rotational spot? Like, you know, you have guys that are a little bit of a question marks, but, you know, at least the offense, like, I can't find a single spot on that offensive side of the ball where I'm like, man, I'm a little worried about this. I feel 40 points a game is coming. I truly feel that. So yeah, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I think we're both drinking
absolutely Kool-Aid
and drinking it heavily. Hopefully it doesn't come back to bite us in the butt, because next episode we are going to dive more into the schedule, give our individual thoughts on each game. You know, I think that's going to be a lot of fun to kind of go one by one and see what games can trip us up, because I do think there's a couple that I'm a little worried about. Cough, cough, that trip to California terrifies me. Right. I hate that. ACC, what are we doing here? It just makes no fucking sense, but it is what it is. We'll dive into that next week. But diving into the next topic that we're going to talk about is breakout performers or breakout players. Not even just breakout players, but just individuals that you feel can really push the envelope from last year. You know, maybe they were good last year, but maybe they're going to take that next step up this year and really prove themselves to be very valuable to the team and even a possible NFL player. So we're going to do one on the offensive side of the ball and one on the defensive side of the ball. And Chris, you can kick it off.
Defensive side, Wesley Bissaint. I know you touched on him a little bit ago, but I have really high expectations of him to take that next step, right? One of Mario Cristobal, one of the first recruits he went to go visit when he got the job. Like, that was his guy. He wanted to get that cornerstone on defense. Like, he wanted to build the defense around him. You know, he's done it well, but I think there's definitely room for improvement. Hopefully playing next to Mal Go will, you know, increases. Mm-hmm. So I'm really looking for him to on the field, but also the leadership. He's a third year into the system now. Like, he should really take that next step, and I think he will take that next step.
Yeah, and I agree. I think Wesley, I know we talked before the show, and we both kind of had Wesley on our – I think that's a lot of people's kind of – this is the guy. This is the prove-it year. And I think he's going to prove a lot of us right. Derek Nicholson has been raving about him. You see the hype videos they put out, and he's singling him out, being like, this guy is completely different from last year. He's not the same man. And you love to hear that shit because it means that he is taking, like you said, more of a leadership role. And he doesn't even really need to do that because, you know, Kiko is kind of going to be that anchor of that defense. But still, he plays a position, like he said in an interview the other day, saying that, you know, they are the quarterback of the defense, and they are. So it's really important for him to take that leadership role. I'll start with my defensive player. And honestly, I think Jaden Harris has a lot to prove this year. You know, like I said before, that is the one spot I am a little bit kind of shy on because, you know, we haven't seen it. I mean, he's played sparingly. He's played here and there. He started a couple games, I think, when individuals were injured. But, you know, we haven't seen it, a big sample size from him. And I do think he was very under-evaluated in high school. I think he was kind of very underrated. I think he has a very lean and long body. He can cover both sides very well, very similar to Cam Kitchens in a way. So I'm excited to see what he does this year. I do think he's going to take a big step now. How big of a step? That's the question. I think playing time will make him take that step anyways, but, you know, how valuable is he going to be on that field? You know, Mish Powell is going to take a lot of weight off his shoulders. You know, that defensive line is going to take a lot of weight off of his shoulders, which is going to be very important. And that makes me feel a little bit better about the situation is because I do think we're going to be able to just rush for all year and get to the quarterback, which is huge for that back end. For individuals that are still kind of trying to feel things out, like Damari Brown, Jaden Harris, Richards, these younger corners that are still kind of finding their way. And then I'll dive into my offensive pick and you can give yours. I think there's a couple you can pinpoint. You know, obviously the obvious ones being Mark Fletcher taking that big step this year, splitting carries with Damian Martinez is going to be huge for him. Learning from him is going to be huge for him. But I truly think this is the year for Isaiah Horton. Isaiah Horton, and I saw it in an interview the other day, he models his game a lot after Andre Johnson. And he's very similar in a way in a body type. He doesn't really, like, break the top off of the defense. He doesn't have that elite speed, but he's a really good, really good route runner. And that makes me really excited for his future. I think he's kind of been pushed down with some of the talent we've had over the last couple of years. And now this is his year to kind of edge himself in that 3-4 spot. You know, and God forbid, like I said, if there's any injuries or anything, knock on wood, you know, we'll have him to take an even bigger spot on the team. But I think his route running, I think he's gotten a lot stronger. You could tell the previous years, his body just wasn't developed enough, I feel like, to really take that next step as far as doubling his snaps or being out there more. But you've seen it. You've seen it a little bit. You saw it in the Texas A&M game where he had that huge catch, 60-yard touchdown catch, in a very big moment in the game. But I think him and Riley Williams, which I know you're going to talk about his counterpart in a little bit, and Riley Williams is another one too. I think the tight ends were so underutilized last year, but the talent's always been there. So go ahead.
Yeah, so you said you touched on tight ends. Mine is Elijah Arroyo. He's battled through some injuries the last couple of years, but I saw a picture of him. He looks like a totally different person. He's like 6'4", 240. Like, he looks like he's ready to contribute, and honestly, he looks like he's an NFL tight end. I think he's going to have a big year. You know, hopefully he stays healthy. I think he's going to be a big contributor to this offense. And then, yeah, with the depth as well, Riley Williams is right behind him. Like, we have a good, you know, good core at tight end as well. You know, yeah, something does happen.
You bring up the depth, too. You got Elijah Lofton, the young freshman who is apparently like a Swiss Army knife. You know, he's kind of like a – I kind of see him being like a Najee Davenport type where you can kind of put him anywhere, H-back, tight end, slot, wherever you want. The guy's going to make plays. I think going back to what I was talking about with the offense, like, even if you look at the tight end position, it's absurd. Like, I think both of those guys, Elijah Arroyo and Riley Williams, will be NFL tight ends. Like, when you look at Elijah Arroyo, if he's apparently he is the healthiest he's ever been in his Miami Hurricane career. And if you just look at him, he has the prototypical NFL tight end body build. He runs like a gazelle. He's huge. He can block. He is everything that NFL is looking in when you see guys go in the first or second round for tight ends. And I would not be surprised if he has a huge year this year, huge being like 600, 700 yards, maybe like five or six touchdowns. TDs. Yeah. And bolts and says, he's like a redshirt sophomore. So he bolts and goes to the NFL. I would not be surprised. But then you have Riley Williams, again, another guy that stepped in as a true freshman last year and got a lot of burn. So you have two guys right there that I think
Then you have Cam McCormick. Like, can't forget about him. Like, no, but that just shows, like, the depth. Like, right? You're not even talking about him, but, you know, do we need a 28-year-old tight end to step in sometimes to block? Yeah, at the goal line? But that just shows, like, the depth right there. It's like he gets lost in the shuffle. He's not 100%. Yeah, like,
he's not like a high-ceiling guy. But, yeah, no. he's a guy that we saw last year. And I think a lot of people – when they slight him and talk crap about him, I think is very unwarranted because he does a lot of the dirty work. You know, there was a lot of times last year where I saw people post highlights where he was mowing up people, building up huge holes for our offense. And I mean, that's stuff that goes unnoticed. And yeah, do I think maybe we could have freed up a scholarship spot for someone that's not 28 years old? Yeah. But like, do I think he adds value? I do. Yeah, the more and more I talk about this team, the more and more I'm going to drink the Kool-Aid because exactly. I can't. It's just, and again, like I said, we'll talk about it next episode when we go through the schedule, but I truly feel like there's not really much weakness. Now, one thing I want to pivot to is a lot of people and a lot of the talking heads, and this could kind of go back to our drinking the Kool-Aid segment that we had, they're talking about, they've always had the talent, but Mario Cristobal is a subpar coach. And listen, I need to say something here. I was just as mad as anyone when I left that Georgia Tech game when they did not kneel the ball. It was probably the most distraught I've ever been as a Hurricane fan my entire life. I didn't listen to the radio on the way home. It was me and my buddy. It was quiet. We didn't talk. It was miserable. And I think people are overestimating that call. They're kind of, I'm not trying to say he doesn't deserve the ridicule because he does. It was stupid. But if the ACC did their fucking job and saw that Don Chaney was down with the ball in his arms, and guess what? The call gets overturned. They get the ball back. They probably kneel it. Game's over. No one talks about it ever again. Or the off chance Don Chaney just doesn't ever fumble the ball at all, no one talks about it. It's because the one in a million thing happened. And you know how many times people would probably run the ball in that situation and nothing has happened. Yes. And no one cares because no one fumbled. And it is what it is. I've always said the more angry I get about that game actually is more with the defense. When Georgia takes off on the back. Because
with the 20-30 seconds and drives the field and Cam Kitchens.
love Cam Kitchens to death. But my guy, that play, I am telling you, lost him millions of dollars. Because you're telling me they have 7-6 seconds left on the clock. They have like no timeouts or one timeout. Yeah. All you have to do is keep them in front of you. Worst case, they kick a field goal, you go to overtime.
But can't let them get behind him.
But you bite and you let the guy get behind you and you let him score a touchdown from the 50-yard line. Bro, come on. You're supposed to be like the smart safety.
Right? All-American.
Like that, you're supposed to be the heady safety that knows what's going on. Like, so that's the thing. Like, people say, oh, the talent's always been there for Miami. The talent's always been there for Miami. But Mario Cristobal is a subpar coach. And like, my thing is, he's not. He's won 2 Pac-12 championships. He has won a Rose Bowl. And like, you can't tell me he's a subpar coach and he's done that. Like, it's, you can't. We're not talking about Al Golden here and Manny Diaz and guys that have won nothing. The guys that have won no conference championships. They barely won a bowl game, if they've even won a bowl game. Yeah, right. We're talking about a guy that has proven himself. I'm talking about a guy that's gone to FIU and raised them from the crypts of death, from nothing to 2 straight bowl games. I believe winning one of them. Like, he's built programs before. Oregon was in the dumps with fucking Willie Taggart before he took over that place. And look at what he did. And people go, oh, well, he had Justin Herbert. Okay? He got Justin Herbert on the team. Yeah. Like, what do you... And I don't even care if it's Willie Taggart. I don't know. I have to fact check that. I don't know if it was Willie Taggart's recruit. I don't know if it was Mario's recruit. I don't know. But regardless, whatever. Yeah. He had talent on the team. He worked with it. It is what it is. Like, I'm so tired of hearing that just because of one super dumb decision. Yes. And I get that he did it also at Oregon. And it, like, cost them a game, I think, or something against Stanford. But... like, I've always said it, Mario is here to be a Butch Davis. He is here to acquire talent and let the talent do what it does best. He is going to build up the offensive line. He's going to build up the trenches. That's what he does. That is his specialty. He is not there to call plays. He is a figurehead. And I've always said that is the type of head coach that Miami's always needed. They don't need an X's and O's guy. They need a guy that's going to recruit Miami, that's going to recruit South Florida, keep all the best players here, because I don't care what people say. They say, oh, we've had good players for a long time. We haven't. We've gotten the scraps from South Florida. The guys like Jerry Jeudy, the guys like Amari Cooper, these other Alabama guys and Ohio State guys that decided to go somewhere else, those are the guys that we're now starting to get. And we never got those guys before. And no shade to the Canes players that were here for the past 15 years. Love you all. Love what you did for the program. But the talent level we have right now is something we have not seen in a very long time. And that's what Mario is here to do. And he's going to live and die by that. He's not going to win by coaching his butt off. That's not how he is. It's not his DNA. What do you think?
No, I totally agree. And regarding the players leaving South Florida, you have to – they always say, like, put a fence around the Tri-County area. Like, that's a must. And I think that's what Cristobal is doing, and that's where you have to start. You have to build that fence. You can't let Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia come get these players out of South Florida, because they're taking the best of the best. There's still good players in South Florida, but they're taking the Patrick Surtains, and you're like, man, the Smith, the Jeremiah Smith. You're like, man, that's So I think it starts there for sure. And as they continue to coach and learn the players, I think that'll come around.
And one thing I want to highlight too is people don't realize this. He has done this with a 7-6 and 5-7 season. If he wins 10 or 11 games this year,
no, it's over.
The floodgates are going to open. He is going to sign a number one class. Like, I promise you that. If he proves it on the field, he just signed a number three class, a top five class with a 7-6 season, a very subpar season, not a ton of exciting moments. You know, you had that embarrassing Georgia Tech loss. Like, it's not like you had a lot of stuff to say, hey, recruit, look at this. Look at, we're trending in the right direction. Like, there wasn't a lot of stuff to be like, that's cool. Look at this. Look at this great player that you can be, except for maybe Reuben Bean. But the fact that, like, he's done that, he's recruited two top 10 classes with two very subpar years, that is absurd. And to think about what he could do if he wins 10, 11, 12 games, makes a college football playoff, has a packed house at the Hard Rock for most of the games, like, it's done. See you later. Bye. Like, now especially you don't have Nick Saban to contend with. You don't have, you know, Dabo Sweeney, whatever, cares. Yeah. Mike Norvell has never been a good recruiter. Even when the team is doing well, he barely recruits in the top 15. I'm not worried about him at all. Ohio State, Ryan Day, yeah, sure. John Harbaugh's gone. Who is going to, Dan Lanning, Oregon, but still Oregon.
We're going to worry about Kirby Smart. That's the one where it's like,
how did I forget? I was naming all these guys and I forgot the main guy. That's the guy. And I mean, I think that is someone that Mario is going to kind of model himself after. A guy that has just acquired so much stupid talent. Now, listen, I think Kirby Smart is a better coach than Mario Cristobal in general. You know, the defenses he coached at Alabama and other places. I mean, he's a great defensive mind. But that is the type of style that I think Mario is going to go for. It's just acquiring so much talent that you're just going to have such an overwhelmingly different type of talent than the team across from you on a Saturday that, like, it's very hard for a team to overcome that. And I'm hoping we just get to that level to where the talent outweighs Mario's deficiencies as a coach. And that's what we need to do. That's it.
I think we're on that path. Like I said, we went over the depth chart a couple of times already. Like, it's there. We have the talent. We're in the ACC, you know, with our schedule. Like, I truly believe, like, a 10 win, in my opinion, that should be, like, the floor.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
In my opinion, anything other than 10 wins is a disappointment. Yeah, like.
100%. And I agree. And I think, you know, next week when we dive into the schedule, it's going to be more evident as ever that 10 wins should be the floor for this team. You do have a couple tough road games, but other than that, you have FSU, you have Virginia Tech, both at home, both prime time. Like, you should have good crowds for that. Team should be hyped up. I mean, I feel good about it. I feel good about it, but this was a fun time. This is a fun first episode. How are you feeling, Chris?
I'm loving it. This is great. We hit on some good points, and I'm ready to drink this Kool-Aid even more now after this.
I know. I feel like this is going to dive me even more into a wormhole of just feeling like, yeah. But we'll have some thoughts about the first game next week, because that's really what it's going to come down to. I think a lot of it's going to be that first game, and I don't want to dive too much into it now, but that just spoiler alert for next week's episode. I'm a little bit terrified about that game a little bit, but other than that, this was a great time, Chris. I had a good time. Thank you for everyone joining us on our first episode of Inside the Eye. Again, this is all new to me. It's new to me doing the video stuff. I've always done just a podcast with just the audio. So this, in general, is going to get better. The performance on the screen, everything you see, is going to get better as we go along. So please bear with me. Please, if you guys are listening to this, subscribe. If you have any recommendations, any questions you want us to hit on the next episode, please shoot them in the comments. Hit me up on Twitter. Anything you want us to highlight and talk about on the next episode, please let me know. But Chris, thanks for joining me. Look forward to next week. Everyone joining us here tonight or today when this is dropping in a couple of days, thank you so much. Make sure you subscribe on all of our different platforms.
It's all about you.
Go Canes, baby.